This time last year, activist and author Tarana Burke says she was finally feeling liberated. The founder of the Me Too movement was reveling in the success of her new memoir, Unbound. Then, last Thanksgiving, her 92-year-old grandmother got COVID and died 2 weeks later. At the funeral, Burke and 11 of her family members got sick with COVID too.
I've gone through sort of what I've called my personal tsunami in the last 6 months. And then what's going on in the world has just been a layer.
Here now is Tanya Mosley sat down with Burke for her podcast, Truth Be Told. It was just after the mass shootings in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas. They talked about the immense amount of grief that we've all been feeling.
Grief is a trickster, right? Grief comes and it gets you. It does what it wants with you. It has its way with you, right? Grief will have its way with you. And so you can't plan to navigate grief in any kind of way.
That's right.
Grief and sadness. That's why looking at how people are navigating the world, we lost 1 million people in this country from COVID.
A million.
When you lose 1 million individual people, you leave behind hundreds of millions of mourners. While we are trying to, like, you can't quantify that amount of grief that's just in the air. It's just out there. We're walking around looking at people who are just going on through life, who are carrying that grief. And then you have these mass murders happening around us. And there's that grief, you know? And then so I actually had this moment the other day, and I was texting a friend of mine when the Buffalo mass murder happened. I couldn't talk about it online. I couldn't post about it. I couldn't say anything about it. And, you know, he texted me and he said, I can't go on Twitter because it's just, I'm so sick of the hot takes and the whatnot. And I said, you know what happened to me the other day? I said, I had raw human emotion. And I said, I'm kind of into it. I'm just going to sit with that. The names came up on my phone and I just wept so hard because those names were so Black. They were so Miss Celestine and Miss Pearl. And I just kept putting the Miss before them because they were aunties and neighbors. Those are my grandma's church friends, and the lady next door, and the man who fixed your car for free when your carburetor's broken, and you know, those are the girl you went to Sunday school with. I know these Black folks, and my heart broke, and I felt, and it sounds, I don't know how this is going to translate for people, but I felt good about that heartbreak in some ways, because I need my heart to break. I need to cry about this. I need to feel bad about it. I don't want to feel numb.
So many of us are there. We're there. One thing you shared the last time is that when Me Too became a hashtag and women all over the world began to share their stories online, you were actually really worried about that because you felt like, you know, as someone who has worked with trauma survivors, once you open those wounds, you need guidance and help. We're seeing the same thing play out for every one of us who say, we are not going to go on Twitter or on social. We're going to just grieve. There are many more who have decided, okay, this is the only way that I can emote this intense pain that I'm feeling. Does that also concern you in this moment? And I'm just thinking about how we can be there for each other. We're consuming each other's grief, but we're not connected.
I know. I am absolutely concerned. Not just that we're not connected. We are. This is what I did write about after Texas. We are not built to hold this much. We're not built to know this much, right? Recently, it was a meme that said something about, is it just that there's more trauma or more crisis now? Or is it that social media just gives us more information now?
Right.
You know, than it was before, because it feels like it's one after another, after another, after another. And I thought about that and I was like, I'm not sure which is true. Is it that there's more things happening now? But either way, it's too much information.
Yeah.
It's just, it's too much happening. And I just don't think human beings are built to hold this much.
How have you been able to get to a place of vulnerability to be able to say, I need help, or to have the people who love you to be able to love you in all the parts of you?
Truth. The truth of some of that is fatigue.
Just so tired of doing it. Yes.
It's just some of it is just plain fatigue. Let me tell you something. I can plainly remember the day I was living in Selma, working at the National Voting Rights Museum. I remember the day that I stood at the top of the steps. We used to plan this huge event called Bridge Crossing Jubilee. It's the commemoration of the Selma to Montgomery March. And I was one of the chief planners of that event. Standing at the top of the steps, and I fell asleep at the top of the steps. My girlfriend at the time, one of my best friends, was at the bottom of the steps. And she said, "Are you asleep?" She screamed up to the top of the steps. And I woke up. I lived in a perpetual state of exhaustion, trying to be all the things to all the people all the time, trying to work and raise my child, and just, it make no sense. It, in horrible relationships with myself, with the men in my life, I just got to a point of exhaustion. And I can't, even now, there's some things I just can't. My brain, like when I go to try to be this thing or do this thing, be that person, my body says no. My brain says no. I know what you're trying to do. No.
You think it's age now where it's like, okay, look, you've been doing this for too long. You just can't.
Yeah, probably. Probably. This, my body and brain have conspired now. They're like, oh no, I know what you're trying to do.
Right.
My knees start talking to my ankles, and my ankles be kicking up to my toes, and it shoots right on up to my back, and they say,
But one thing you are so good at is identifying that in other people, though. Like, what do you do when you see that in your friends and the other people that you love, that they're in this same loop of like just overachieving and just working themselves to exhaustion?
You know, the beautiful thing about my friend group now is that we are an amazing circle of truth tellers. I have found myself, I've landed in this beautiful circle of folks who are committed to being honest with each other. But also, even in my friend group, you know, I meet survivors all the time who think they need a thing from me. What they need is a spark to get inside themselves, right? Mm. They need a little bit of insight on how to get on this road to figure out how to get back to themselves. And I can hold your hand for 2 seconds or look in your eyes or give you a hug, and I can feel what I need to give you. I don't know what your therapist need to give you or whatever, but the thing that I need to give you, I'm going to give you. Because I've been poured into a lot. By the grace of God, people have poured into me for a long, 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 long time.
It's what we can do for each other.
It's what we can do for each other, right? That's all we have. People pour in a little to you, you pour out a little to them. That's just what we have. It's not much, but that's really how we are surviving.
6 months, 7 months away from this time when your life turned upside down, how would you categorize this moment that you're in?
I think I am. I mean, I still probably cry every day about my grandma, like a little bit, not as much. It's not full on, you know, bawling like I was, but I think I'm maybe transitioning a little bit. You know, I'll be 50 next year, and I'm trying to figure out what the next phase of my life is, I guess. The next thing is for me. we're coming up on the 5th anniversary of the hashtag going viral, and we have all of these big plans. So I'm in this space of, feels like everything is about renewal. I want to move into whatever's next for me personally, right? I'm listening to my heart, I'm listening to my body, I'm listening to the universe, to God, just trying to sit still and listen and like not be numb. I just don't want to be numb. You know, I want to feel things. I want to hear things. I want to connect.
Thank you so much, as always. It has been such a pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Oh, anytime. I really enjoy talking to you. I really do.
That was my conversation with Tarana Burke, founder of the Me Too movement. And you can find every episode of Truth Be Told with Tanya Mosley wherever you get your podcasts.